Super Senpai Podcast.
Welcome to the Super Senpai Podcast. This is an episodic tokusatsu-related podcast where we're hecka excited about mecha. I'm Pat.
And I'm Grant. And it's good to be back, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Just struck me up. I'm like, I don't think we're doing this every 2 weeks, so let's not call this a bi-weekly thing.
Let's not lie to the people, right?
Yeah.
That's what villains do. No, but how are you? How are things?
Good. Winter season of anime is wrapping up, so the shows of the season are ending. Promised Neverland ended, Mob just ended today, and spring is on its way in.
Which means yet more anime. There's always more anime.
It's true. I mean, I don't know what's coming out this season that I'm paying attention to, really.
Is One Punch Man season 2, is that this coming season?
Yeah, that's right. For better or for worse,
One Punch Man season 2. I believe for better or for worse is an appropriate way to put it.
Uh-huh. It'll be interesting. I'll probably see what's going on. But this year's been moving pretty quickly, like, compared to last year. Last year felt like it was a snail's pace, but, like, it's April all of a sudden.
Yeah, right? Oh my gosh, I feel like I just turned around. Oh, now there is one thing that we should both be excited about coming up. That Ultramanime is going to be hitting Netflix real, real soon, right?
Oh, I mean, I think it's actually out already, because I've seen people talking about it, so I think it is.
Then I guess I'll check Netflix while we talk, because that's definitely big news. I mean, now that's based on the manga, which I've only read like a little bit of, maybe like a chapter or a chapter and a half, so I don't know much about it other than it is canonically taught. Like, have you read much of it?
Yeah, I have the first volume, or I've read the first volume a while ago. It didn't even occur to me that they were going to animate this until the announcement happened.
Oh, yeah, it's on here. I'm looking right here, right now. Oh, 13 apps.
All right. Buddy. Well, spring is here. Spring has sprung. Ultra is in bloom. I want to check that out.
Yes, spring, the time when a young man's fancy turns to Ultraman.
I read the first volume like back in like 2016, 2015, whenever it first came out. I was like,
a lifetime ago. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Things were very different for me at that point, I think.
Mm.
So I didn't expect this. I didn't imagine it, but it seems like I've been seeing positive response to it. So I'm excited.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure other people have already binged it.
Oh,
just in the past few minutes since we've realized it exists on Netflix, some people have finished it. But I'll definitely check that out for sure. Yeah. Once I clear out some of my backlog, because I'm eager to see how it pans out. Gotta support that Ultra. Yeah, for myself, I've been pretty busy too. Speaking of anime, I'm trying to catch up on like 2 seasons ago of anime.
Mm.
I'm still working my way through Thunderbolt Fantasy, and I just finished Shin Mazinger, which is not anything recent, but I just like giant robots, and I had been meaning to finish it up for a while, and it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting pretty far in my Kaku Ranger watch. I've got maybe 14 episodes or so to go. It's really Ninjaman finally showed up.
Ooh.
Who we would know as Ninjor in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I guess would that be that'd be season 3? Yeah, this would be season 3 for Mighty Morphin. He's really great. I don't know if you watched Mighty Morphin of that era much. At all?
I vaguely remember seeing it at that time. I think I've always thought it was a cool design. I just didn't know anything.
Having been of the generation that, like, I watched it as it was literally, like, coming out and was excited and was like, cool, a ninja guy. He definitely is super cool. He was pretty fun. Ninjor was pretty fun in the show. I thought he was pretty underutilized. Like most of the material in that era, underutilized but cool. But Ninjaman is he's really different, and he shows up really late in Kaku Ranger. Whereas, I mean, I think part of that is the function. I don't know if you know this or not, but in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers season 2, they basically, you know, of course, Sentai Team starts with a cool mecha, and then later gets the upgrade mecha. For Saban, basically flipped the order those come in. So the upgrade mecha is the starter mecha. In Copy Ranger, they start with Muteki Shogun, who's this like giant castle mecha with like the Falcon and the missiles. Well, he doesn't have the Falcon just yet, but he's like a giant castle robot. But then later they get the one that's got the bear and the wolf and all that. Well, in Mighty Morphin, in the movie, right, they start with getting the bear and the wolf and the gorilla, and then later upgrade to the castle one. Because, which I think
I haven't thought about it in such a long
time. I know, right? It's weird. But because of that, and like in the movie and stuff, like Ninja Warrior gives them the ninja powers. Like he's there from the jump, right? Whereas, so like in Cocker Ranger, I'm like, when's Ninja Man showing up? Like, when's Ninja Man showing up? I'm ready to see him. And like, it's like 3/4 of the way through the show and he finally shows up. It's just kind of weird, I guess. Like obviously it shouldn't be strange because that's originally how it was supposed to work, but it is very interesting because he sort of fits the role of a sixth ranger, but he shows up so late in the show. And I guess I just wasn't used to that. So he's great. He's a great addition, but I was really, I guess, purple. I was like, oh yeah, God, I almost forgot he should show up at some point and we're almost done. but he's very, Ninja in Mighty Morphin was sort of a kooky, I mean, he was kind of like an alpha character, but like if alpha could fight, it's kind of silly. Whereas Kaku Ranger, he's like really emotional. Like he's almost like a red. Like he's like hot blooded and passionate, and he like literally will at some points just be like shaking with rage and like shaking his fists at the heavens, and his like visor does this fire effect. It's like fire from below, like in his eyes. It's very Looney Tunes. It's really great, but he's just not what I expected. He shows up much later, and at the end of the day, he's just another fighter for the team, but he's just so different. It's interesting.
I forgot how dummy thick Ninjor was.
It is difficult to infiltrate the enemy castle when the clap of your shoulder pauldrons keeps alerting the guards. I mean,
yes. Oh my god! Thank you for that.
Oh, no, thank you. You mentioned he. I mean, he is dummy thick. He is fully armored because he can turn into Samurai Man, and he like unfolds and like his head does the flip change thing, and he's like this whole other. So like he's so many cool characters in one. Like he's really awesome, and I think it's interesting too because in a way, I guess that early era for Mighty Morphin, I think that second season is really rough. But as we get as you get later into Power Rangers, you start to see like SPD is a great example of this. Kruger, they completely like redid his character in SPD. Like they didn't even use the Deca Ranger suit; they like made a custom like police officer dog suit for the Power Rangers character that is not the same as what. It's still essentially like a dog in a trench coat who's like their boss or whatever. But they like made a custom suit and all that, and so like and he's a great character in Power Rangers. So I guess Ninja Warrior is an interesting example of how, like, I think that's sort of emblematic of some of the later Power Rangers stuff, where, as opposed to, say, the early Mighty Morphin, where sometimes, like, well, everything that's different is just worse, right? Like, oh, Saban changed it and just made it bad. Like, that's kind of the rule early on. But Ninja Warrior is almost this thing where, okay, they changed it and made it different, but it's just a different take on the character. It's not, like, obviously worse. You know what I mean? So, I mean, he's not used as much as he should be, I think, in the Mighty Morphin stuff, but I think he's sort of indicative of that later trend of like, well, they're just doing something different with this character, and it's kind of neat and interesting that they're doing that. So, yeah. So, but yeah, that's the main toku I've been watching, is Kaku Ranger. My Kuga rewatch has kind of completely stalled out. It's just so heavy, I guess. Like, Kuga is a lot.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I sit down and I think about it, and I'm like, I have to like mentally gear up for Kuga, you know what I mean? And like, and like with Kaku Ranger, I don't feel like I have to do that as much, and it's a nice relief. Anyway, though, so news-wise, there's a couple things going on. Was there any smaller news? Because I know we both know there's like a big piece of news, but is there any like smaller news that we wanted to cover before we hit like the sort of elephant in the room?
I think, well, Beast Morpher seems to be doing really well.
Yeah, have you been keeping up with that?
General response. I've only seen the first episode so far. I really like what I've seen. It's a lot of fun. I kind of like the tying it. Oh, geez, you haven't seen it yet, right?
No, I haven't. I mean, I'm aware of some of the elements of GoBusters. Like, I know.
Now, this is me not having seen GoBusters at all, just kind of gotten a glimpse of it. Like, I just didn't pay attention to it when it was running. I don't, for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know. I like... I like what I'm seeing so far. I like how they're tying it to, I guess, what seems like the canon. This is like a returning fan. Like, I haven't paid attention to the American production in a very long time, if I'm being fair. But it's like, okay, I have a kind of an idea of this stuff that they're tying it to.
Right.
So I like, I appreciate that. Cast seems interesting so far. But of course, it's just the first one. I haven't seen that much, but I'm eager to see more.
Well, that's good. I mean, to be net positive, certainly. I mean, I know, I say I know, my understanding of GoBusters is that it is one of the few Sentai to sort of play around in the Power Rangers mythos. Like, there were some, if I'm not mistaken, there were some callbacks to Power Rangers ideas or canon in GoBusters. Like, not in an overt way, but there were some references. So it's already sort of maybe in the air for that show. And I think Hasbro is not foolish, certainly. Probably the most successful thing. I mean, the Neo Saban era has been pretty rough. I tend to be a Dino Charge defender. I really, really like Dino Charge, like, a lot. But I think a lot of the Neo Saban stuff has just not really been up to snuff. So, and I think probably the best thing going has been that Power Rangers comic. That Boom comic is good. It's really good. And it plays around in the mythos and the lore in a lot of fun ways. So I think Hasbro is like, we need to be doing that, like, in the show, like, canonically. Like, we need to be, it doesn't, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still about buying plastic toys, but it can be for people who've been around for a while. Like, you don't have to keep, you know, you don't have to push old fans out. You can give them just enough to sort of like, yeah, this is still part of this and all that. So, especially, I guess, when, I mean, to me, at least, Power Rangers, the one thing that's always sort of set it apart is that there's at least been the understanding or the assumption that all the Power Rangers stuff happens in the same universe, right? Whereas Sentai, I mean, it doesn't not make that assumption, but it doesn't feel as core a part of what Sentai's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it almost doesn't matter most of the time if one existed. Sometimes they'll do a crossover thing. Just at a glance, I think that's what I've observed. But it's also, it's not, like, beholden to that either. Like, they don't worry about it so much, so.
Yeah, like, they don't worry about it, and they don't worry about it. And, like, I think for Power Rangers, there's at least the, they at least make gestures to, you know, there are other Power Rangers. Power Rangers are a thing, you know, in those universes, and they have things like the Dino, like Dino Thunder, or, you know, Forever Red, and those kind of, like, you know, they make those connections pretty overtly. So I think that's a good place for Hasbro to start from. And all the stuff I'm seeing, at least in my Twitter bubble, people that I trust that have been a little down in the dumps on a lot of the Neo Saban stuff particularly, they're all real positive on it. So I think that's great. I think the world is better off for a healthy Power Rangers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
And especially, like, as we, because, oh, no, now, hold on, this also is percolating to my head. What's the Sentai series before Jetman? Is it Bioman or Liveman? Hold on. Fiveman. Okay, I'm sorry, Fiveman. I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, okay, here it is. This has happened since, yes, okay. Yeah, sorry, we have not discussed this. It was part of Shout Factory's, a couple of announcements, but Shout Factory is releasing, this just came to my mind, they are releasing the series before Jetman, which is Fiveman.
Okay.
So, now, I've not seen Fiveman, but I think that, and I have no idea what to expect. I know a lot of people are kind of meh on it, at least in my Twitter bubble. Like, most of the discussion I've seen on Fiveman is very like, you know, eh, it's, you know, it's there. I've seen the comparison drawn to O-Ranger, which is another series that people are like, meh, it's there. But I think the important thing there is that, I mean, we knew it was a big deal when they licensed Jetman, because Jetman is the only one that, because we were wondering, like, okay, how far are they going to go? Like, are they just going to do all the Power Rangers adaptations? Well, Jetman was never adapted, but the thing with Jetman was that technically Saban did get the license for Jetman, they just didn't do anything with it. So it was like, well, there's a pre-existing license. Are they going to go further back? It appears that they are going further back. And I think that is, like, kind of a big deal. They're really doing it. They're going to try to release all of Super Sentai in America. I just can't believe it. Like, the world we live in, it's amazing. Really good news. Sorry, I just had to say that. Like, that's I think that signals good things that we could see things like Go Ranger and stuff like that. Like, wow. I mean, that would just be just...
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I would like too. To see that very much.
Pat, tell us the other really big news in the room.
As of, what, yesterday, today, mm-hmm. we are in a new era of... Obviously, there are larger implications here, but we are out of the Heisei era. Welcome to the Reiwa era?
Reiwa, I believe is how it's pronounced. Now, I don't know, but I believe it's Reiwa. Now, and I think they announced it yesterday, but I think it goes into effect. Not. I think it goes into effect May the 1st with the abdication. I think.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's how it works, but I don't know. I mean, for those of you, if for some reason you're listening to this show and do not know the significance, obviously Japan has like political eras, right? Like the Showa era and the Heisei era and now the Reiwa era, which really has nothing to do with at least anything down at our level, right? It's not going to affect us. And it doesn't.
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably not. But typically, tokusatsu fandom, at least here in the West, breaks up. There's a sort of de facto age, like there's the Showa era and the Heisei era, you know, and we sort of, in the same way that comic book fandom, U.S. comic book fandom does, like Golden Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age, it doesn't actually mean anything or coincide with anything. I mean, I think it probably makes more sense, I guess, for Toku in a way, just because, like, you literally can say, like, yes, Reiwa begins May the 1st and Heisei ends, you know what I mean? Like, you can clearly draw a line in the sand where they end. Unlike comic, I guess with comic book fandom and that sort of stuff, like, it's more like, you know, they a lot of people say, like, the Iron Age starts with Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns being released. Like, those two, they just, because they set this sort of creative tone for a very long time, right? That's, like, the start of something new and gritty. So there's less thematic links, I guess, but there's a clear line in the sand. Like, this is where this ends, this is where this begins. So, like, I don't know if there's much to... It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, how did you take the news? Because I definitely felt weird about it.
I have a vague understanding of it, but not really. Like, okay, I'm trying to think of a lot of different words to say that I'm not really sure how this will actually affect. I mean, to be on topic, the stuff that we're consuming...
Mm-hmm.
There are clear marks, I think, in terms of design decisions, and I think even how pop culture is affected.
Mm,
but sure. It is sort of, it's yet to be seen what that will be exactly.
Mm.
And there's lots of stuff. There's a lot of people putting out really interesting things about what this implies.
I certainly think it's interesting. It is strange because we have been talking about Showa and Heisei for so long. And
yeah, Heisei, that's true.
For us, I mean, you know, for us as people who were born in... and have been raised entirely within Heisei, that Showa was yesteryear, Heisei is now. And Heisei feels like it has been going on for so long for us, because yeah. Showa, you know, cinema itself sort of exists, you know, was sort of percolating and developing within Showa, and this sort of like mass entertainment on this scale. Whereas it's pretty much, most of what we recognize has mostly existed in Heisei, and Heisei's been going on for so long, we've been cutting it up into smaller sub-eras, you know? It's like, yeah, well, there's yeah. Heisei, that's and there's right. Neo-Heisei, like... I mean, it's all still Heisei, right? Or like Godzilla fandom.
Heisei,
it's like
Saban, Disney.
Right. And you have like, okay, well.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. If Saban gets an era. Oh, no. No. I mean, like for Godzilla fandom, we go, oh, well, Heisei goes from Godzilla Returns until 1995, right? 84 to 95. But then there's like the Millennium series that starts, you know, around the turn of the century. And it's like. It's all still technically Heisei, you know? It's, there's always, like, it's been going on for so long, we've had to, like, make these, like, chunks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the funniest comment that I saw was that the people who, and I forget, I apologize, someone who I follow on Twitter, and I apologize for not crediting you, this is not my joke, please don't think I'm funny, but someone said, those people who make the all Heisei era OP collection videos, finally they are free. Finally they can stop remaking those videos.
Oh yeah, that's true. You can rest now. Be at peace.
Yeah, be free, my child. Fly.
Oh boy. Yeah. So we'll see what it really does. I guess the soonest we'll see is when Zio ends and
yeah,
Resoldier just started, but next February. Like, will it be a very, very different direction? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? See. Who's to say? And that's interesting, too. How far along is it? You were watching Zio. Are you still watching it?
We haven't picked it back up yet. I think we're in the early 10s of
okay.
it.
But where is it at now? Is it in, like, the 20s or 30s?
I think so.
That feels right. That's right.
20-something-ish. I haven't checked in a while.
Yeah, I don't see much Zio commentary. I think a lot of... Well, I'll put it this way. The most interesting commentary that I have seen lately is some people saying that the worst parts of Zio are all front-loaded, and then it gets better. It gets
I think it seems like the sentiment seems to be picking up. Something I have been seeing that people are excited about is sort of return of previous writers. There's
like
a bit
actors
of
and or then, just I mean, suits?
Both.
Oh, that is really nice.
There's going to be some like Ryuki stuff coming up, or I think there's some Blade stuff going on right now.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and there's, I think, the actor for Oja, Kamen Rider Oja, the snake-themed one from Yuki is, like, I've seen him in a few, like, screenshots, and like, oh, geez, like, he's still at it.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's the best thing is old Toku actors coming back and still doing their thing. There's something special and just kind of, like, electric about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good, and I really do want to check out Zio. I know part of it was that Build, just, like, I was tapped out, like, in the best possible way, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah,
Build was so draining. It was so good. Mm-hmm. I was like, I gotta walk away from Kamen Rider for a little while. It's just,
I don't remember who, I want to say, dang it, I can't remember who it was, but I saw something else on Twitter where, in Ryu Soldier, they had a shot, like, they were reusing a location, and somebody was like, oh, look, there's that spot where Sento cried for 3 days straight. Like, I was like, oh, like, dang.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. That makes that scene, those locations. When a show makes this location memorable, that's something. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, jeez. God, that show was so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Reiwa era is coming. We're literally at the end of an era and the beginning of a new one. That's really exciting. Who knows what it will entail, but it's pretty great. It's pretty good, pretty exciting time for Toku fandom.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get into those summaries, because we watched 37 and 38, and we are going to watch 39.
Yeah, real quick. So episode 37, we had an armored crab gangler with super teleport attacks and the ability to send everybody home. So to counteract that, they did this weird bit where they found out that Kairi didn't really consider anywhere his home, so it didn't work on him. And then Lupin Blue and Lupin Yellow and Patron Ichigo decided to tent out and make that their home. But they had this like weird, like, they met at the campgrounds where they were all going to be hobos, and they had to come up with an excuse that they were going to be there. And It's real silly. Umika came up with an excuse that Kairi had kicked them out, so Keichiro goes to the cafe to try and, like, cheer him up or, like, figure him out. You can see Keichiro trying to, like, reach out and Kairi rejecting that, but also kind of regretting it because it reminded him very much of his brother who'd lost. Also, we haven't seen it in a while. We haven't seen Mekashiva in a while, so that's what we got to see this time around. And then in 38, it seemed like Zamigo, Cowboy Absolute Zero, was doing something for once. And what it was interfering with a new upgrade that they were going to get, which at first seemed to be this jumbo jet vehicle that they were going to get as an upgrade. And the interference was run initially by these two shrimp-themed ganglers that showed up at the same time, which is a great, like we're lifelong buddies. And then friggin' Zamigo shows up, and Ice is one of them, and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna go with you. Like, let's just... we're childhood friends. Never mind. And it turns out he has, like, vehicle control power, so they were using that to disrupt the acquisition of new abilities, which turned out to not just be a jumbo jet, but a tank that was somehow that was being stored in the jumbo jet. So that it was on. I had a lot of fun with this one, where the tank drops out of it. It's like, what's gonna happen? And boom. So we got sort of a different version, like a tricked out version of Lupin Kaiser. They call it Siren Kaiser, I think
Siren,
like, it had Kaiser, it had a bunch of different parts on it, including the tank, so it looked really different.
Yeah, I enjoyed both these episodes. And I liked the character development in them. But I don't know if you feel this way or not, but I kind of got the feeling that, like, I sort of felt like maybe these should have happened earlier in the series. I sort of wish we knew this stuff maybe 5 to 10 episodes ago. Does that make sense?
Kind of. Like, for 37, it definitely felt like sort of a rehashing of the "how you doing there, sport" vibe.
Yeah.
You doing all right, champ? And then, but then 38, I kind of get was like, how do we trust you? Can I trust you? Lupin X, you're always like working with them. So it's kind of renewing their faith in him.
Right.
Like that's sort of the vibe that I got. Renewing and reconnecting. It's like, I can count on you. Like, you don't have to worry about us. You can count on us. We can count on you. We're all humans, right? So let's work together. So it was.
That's true. I hope that at some point before the show ends, I hope we figure out what Cowboy Absolute Zero is doing. Like,
the show's over, so the sooner we get to it, the sooner we'll find out.
Yeah, right.
And the one thing I do want is I thought we were going to see what the jet did, but we got the tank, which is pretty cool.
Sure.
But I want to see what that jet does.
I guess that's another thing that's been interesting about this show is seeing, maybe this is just my perception, but I feel like we have both an abundance of the little vehicle modes. Like, we have tons of them, it feels like. And yet, unlike, Zoo Ranger or something, right? Like, oh, I think of the Blue Ranger, and the Blue Ranger, I think of the Triceratops. Like, I strongly identify a character with their little mech, too. I don't know if I do that here in the show, because they switch them up so much. And there's so many.
Hmm.
Do you have that feeling, too? Like,
kinda? Like, what do you mean, exactly?
As in, like, when you think of Lupin Red, like, what vehicle do you associate with him with, if anything?
What vehicle do I associate? Like, a jet, right?
Right, like, assume the jet.
But oh,
like,
I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, but can you identify, like, there's six, seven range, like, okay, like, the way Noel, you think, oh, he's got the train. Noel has the train.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Very clearly identifying, like, his vehicle. The other ones have so many vehicles, and we seem to get new ones more than we even see the old ones, it seems, except when they're combined. I don't really have a strong identity for their little mini vehicles, truthfully.
Yeah.
At least not in the way in prior series I would. Mm. Which is just, you know, it's not bad, it's just different.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a different take, I guess. But all right, well, ready to jump in and watch 39?
Yeah, let's do it.
この番組は楽しい時を作るグループ PRT とザ・コミック・フィンドとご覧のスポンサーの提供でお送りします。
And we're back!
Yeah.
That was Lupin Ranger vs. Power Ranger 39.
So, Pat, you want to give us a quick rundown on what happened?
Yes. So this one, Isalov, the other shrimp buddy gangler from, was this 38? It turns out he, even though he had been put on ice, that just meant that he was actually transported and put into cold storage somewhere. And just on a whim, Zelmigo had defrosted him to wreak havoc a little bit. At this point, we're starting to see Kairi kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, like, kind of go rogue. Like, he keeps going off on his own. Maybe he's getting impatient, or he's already a little bit frustrated. And he's just trying to, I don't know, it seems like he's trying to rush things a little bit. So despite, like, the upgrades they're getting, I feel like he feels like he's not making enough, like, traction.
Sure.
Or movement. So this leads to him going off on his own. He spots that Isilob has, like, a human identity, so he starts, like, following him around town, corners him, and then ultimately becomes, like, bait. Like, it turns out Isilob was bait for Zamigo to show up in ambush when somebody was alone. So
right.
Meanwhile, Lupin Yellow and Lupin Blue are sort of conflicted over whether or not they should tell Noel, like, their history with Zamigo, because in the beginning of the episode, he'd asked them about him. What's the deal with this guy? Do you know anything about it? I've never seen it before. So they join up just as Lupin Red is getting cornered. They kind of just show up just as he's about to use Victory Striker, the jumbo jet that they just picked up in the last episode. And it's pretty cool. Like, it's straight up, honestly, it's straight up King Crimson. Like, he could predict the future somewhat. Like, that they'd follow that fated path. So that future prediction combined with his ability, he actually ends up with the upper hand on Zamigo and would have taken him out, but he threw Isilob in the way and got away. I want to say...
Then Ghosh arrives.
Yeah, Ghost arrives, brings back Isalob, they do a fight, and then we kind of get to see what Victory Striker does for Lupin Kaiser, which is kind of like a flight mode. And I want to say the Pat Rangers, once again, kind of take a back seat for this episode.
Yeah, they do.
The thing we do learn, though, is that when Zamigo freezes people, he's actually, like, somehow teleporting them, and we actually got to see him use that in the fight.
Right.
So there's an implication there. For sure, that not only have they didn't get just broken into pieces, but they've been stored somewhere. Mm-hmm. So
in cold there's storage, a thread to follow.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was pretty much where the episode ended, right?
Yeah, I think so. There was a little bit about sort of Keichiro noticing that both Kairi and Lupin Red, somehow two different people, completely unrelated, are troubled by something. And so he's picking up on that, but not exactly what's going on. So we'll probably see more of that soon.
So that's how did you feel about this episode overall, then?
I like learning about Zamigo's deal. King Crimson in action was great. Big fan of Sentai fights on the ground. And
oh, yeah.
The camera work, I don't think, has been as exciting as it was in the beginning. But we're getting some really dope effects.
Mm.
You know, firing a gun, maybe not my favorite way to defeat somebody in like a Toku series, but they've done a really cool job. Like, I want to know how to do that. Like, point here, big laser coming out. Watch out. And then like the cool, like prediction effect whenever he got like a vision of the future was really cool too.
Mm.
That, what do they call it? Like chromatic, kind of like chromatic aberration stuff. Like, ugh.
Yeah. He's like almost like they're like seeing like film negatives almost, right? Of future events. That was really cool. I think the visual, I think him discovering it was really cool too, because there was that slow motion shot with Zamigo firing the bullet right at the screen. And then we get the transition to the match cut with him, like right got it at his visor. And then right when it looks like it's about to hit it, that's when he like realizes what it's doing. It's just showing him what could happen. That was really effective.
Right.
I really liked this episode. I agree with everything you said. I think it was interesting that, I think like you said, we've had a little less maybe exciting camera work like we've had in prior episodes. But the effect for the King Crimson effect was really cool. Even the finisher, again, I agree, just having a blast finisher isn't that much fun. I thought it was interesting. They've played around a lot with, I mean, the pistols are the main thing in this series. They've played around a lot, it feels like, with making a character shoot a pistol be a team attack. You know, the Pat Rangers can do that thing where they form into a one body and fire the shot. So it's technically a team attack. And I think the interesting thing here with Super Lupin Red is that Blue and Yellow had to come turn the dials on his shoulders to power up the attack.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like,
yeah.
So it wasn't just him shooting. They
unlocked the ability.
Yeah, they almost had to, like power him up or crank him up. I thought that was a really neat way to still make that a team attack, I guess.
Yeah.
As opposed to, the classic model is just have a super big bazooka everyone has to hold. So I thought that was an interesting way to still make it a team attack, even though it was just him firing. I thought that was kind of neat. Lots of great... I don't really want to say this was like a character development episode, but we got lots of little lore drops. The Zamigo revelation is a really big deal. Knowing that they're not possibly dead, they're just somewhere else. Like, that's huge. That's like that's a big deal for the show.
Oh, and yeah.
Little things like with Kairi pretty much out and out saying, like, you know, Keichiro, you're not my brother. Don't act like my brother. And then Keichiro being like, wow, this guy has a lot in common with Red. Like, those are both really big developments for them, I feel like. And then particularly, I think the interesting thing is we still haven't really figured out Zamigo's deal, but we've figured out now that the Lupin Rangers have a plan for him. That I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting to be like, oh, they've he's their like backup plan, essentially. Meaning that they also, like us, don't really trust Kogure's promise. And that they're coming up with an alternative plan, and they were hesitant to tell Noelle about it. All of that, I think, was way more like, that was like, oh, that's a really interesting dynamic, because we've pretty much, I mean, it seems like the distrust for Noelle has mostly been on the side of the Pat Rangers, like, obviously. So having that hesitation from the team, the Lupin Rangers, was interesting. And like knowing that, okay, they also don't really buy into this whole thing. Well, that was pretty important personally.
Yeah, and it's sort of good for them to be skeptical, because Kogure has been kind of shady about certain aspects of it. He's been up, not necessarily upfront, but he's given them a little bit to go on, but it's still pretty nebulous and there's no proof that they've seen of it. And like I said, what they have seen is the ability to teleport somebody. So they know that their loved ones are not necessarily dead. Right. There's just no guarantee, but it's just not guaranteed that they are dead. And there was a little weirdness when Umika first told Noelle, where she says, like, your line of reasoning is correct. And she accepts it, like, okay, great. But then Toma's, like, you know, either skeptical enough to have some, what do you call it? Reserves. Like be reserved about it. Like, uh-huh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, but of course that gets interrupted by Kairi going off on his own. Other things you really like from this?
Isolab is, again, a very silly kaiju. Kaijin, and I like him a lot. Just all the shrimp jokes I think are pretty great, and particularly that little shrimp fan thing, it just kept delivering the laughs because it could shoot fried shrimp missiles. It had the team running around town looking for suspicious fried shrimp. I think Sakuya literally walking the sidewalk, peering at the grass, looking for suspicious fried shrimp is probably kind of a wonderful moment in the show. We may not see it again. And his
followed by his totally after school special moment of like, you know, if you got a friend, you gotta trust in them and you gotta tell them things that you think that they ought to know. Like, if you're worried about it, you should talk to your friends. Like, good message. I don't like actually sound advice from Sakuya of all people.
Yeah, it was interesting for him to give good advice. Actually, that was pretty. Yeah. It was a fun flip of the script.
Well, he wasn't done talking because, of course, he was going to ask that she confide in him, and then
it was good then. I think all the little attacks he could do with that fan, like making the he could shoot out the shrimp oil to try to fry them, and then they had to use the fire extinguisher. Like, it was all good. I really have no complaints there. I thought it all went really well. And seeing the new Lupin Kaiser combination that could also turn into sort of like a big super plane bomber thing. I think we both remarked, like, that seems like a different, like, I don't know if I can think of a what essentially then makes it a, you know, Transformers combiner that has its own alt mode, right? Like, I don't know if I've seen that before. So that was pretty new and exciting.
There was something else that happened that, like, got my attention. Oh, that's what it was. There was something worth noting that I think Toma had observed. Maybe, I think it was Toma. Since Amigo was totally new to Noelle, it meant that his loved one was taken or killed. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Taken away. That's how they would say it. Was taken away by somebody else. And immediately after that, that's when it cut to Destro and Ghosh kind of, hey, yeah, right. You wanna team up? You wanna failed again? Yeah, I know the feeling. You doing all right there?
Yeah, and him being like, what makes you think I need your help? But really she was like, well, you know, I'm offering, which was different for them.
Messed up again. Just noticed, you know.
Noticed you're having trouble being a bad guy. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I really like this one. And I think it, for what I guess at face value feels like a kind of standard episode, a lot of little things. It feels like we're maybe pivoting to that final act.
Mm-hmm.
Really are upping the stakes and altering. I'm really impressed with the learning that the Rangers had a plan for Zamigo before we really even learn what his plan is. That's really interesting to me, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, so I like this one a lot.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where this is going.
Mm. All right, well, I think that's probably about it. So I guess next time we'll be getting together to watch the next batch of episodes. Not too many more left
before
this season is completed. So it's exciting.
Coming up here. Yeah, maybe we'll do a couple more of these.
Yeah.
I say this every time, but I missed it. I miss it every time. It's there's nothing like watching it by yourself. Watching it with a friend is always feels better.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I like the other two episodes, but there's always something more exciting about just watching it as a group. It's better.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to the Super Senpai Podcast. We'll notice you again next time.
Super Senpai Podcast.